Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping all the meat and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm going to do some solos here. GB, you also got Matt, and then there is the man himself, Jake, and we are going to gap about some pro wrestling today. And it's Wednesday, so you know what that means. We're talking AEW, because AEW Dynamite is going to be airing tonight. And we're going to be seeing all the fallout from AEW Dynasty, and it's going to be absurd. But before we get into that, ever for the last few weeks, I've been asking Jake some pointed questions about March Madness. And and I know by it already happened, right? It happened on Monday.
The championship was last night.
Okay. Yeah. And who is the March Madness Maddington winner?
Your men's basketball national champion is the Florida Gators.
Florida won. You never mentioned Florida.
Picked them to win on my bracket.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
It turns out good things can come out of Florida.
Sometimes. Yeah. So as for my buddy's bracket, though.
Going
into Saturday, he was ranked 14th in the world overall, number one in the $100,000 challenge. The first game was his Auburn Tigers.
Oh, no.
Against the Florida Gators.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And he picked with Auburn.
He went with his heart.
Auburn to win it all.
He went with his heart.
Florida won, and
he ain't getting
down
shit.
His
where'd he finish?
And then the next game, Duke Houston, he picked Duke to win, and Houston went to the finals. He got all that just to miss the Final Four. He was 14th in the world.
Oh no!
At one point, and he went on to lose our bracket pool to his mother and his 8-year-old son. That's how brackets go, man.
Bro, that's how it goes. A mighty fall.
Yeah. Forget the heartbreak of the actual teams who lose and everything. Is the heartbreak of the tournament.
Whoa, found the new. Whoa. That is just he's the Blitz. You know, if you ever watch How I Met Your Mother, you know, he's got to be the new Blitz now.
So on the plus side, it gave me more reason to hate Auburn.
Oh, yeah. No,
on his behalf.
We hate Auburn on this show for sure. This is anti-Auburn.
Just to be clear, not the color. We love the color. It's a nice
color. The color's gorgeous for sure.
School can go screw itself.
Yeah, that school in the dirt. Okay.
Jury's out on the color just because of its association. Or Auburn, California. I'll never visit.
Never giving them a dime of my money. That is a protest I'll gladly sign on to.
So I was super bummed for him. He's fine. He's fine.
Because that's a lot.
We talked about it last night, and he thought it was funny at this point. You know, it's just like, what are you going
to
do?
What else are you supposed to do? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You just got to laugh at it. Man,
exactly.
That was great.
Yeah. And the game last night was wild. The championship game was crazy. It literally came down to the last seconds.
Oh shit.
Where Houston had a chance to win the game and didn't shoot the ball. They just didn't shoot. Last 17 seconds they had it. And this guy goes up for a shot, but he knew he was going to get blocked, and you can't come back down with the ball. It's a travel.
Mm-hmm.
So they would give the ball to Florida. So he just midair drops it.
Oh no.
He just drops it because he thought it was going to get blocked.
Oh no.
And he can't come down with it and touch it, hoping another teammate would run over. And then there was a scramble for the ball and time
ran
out.
Oh man.
It was one of the dumbest ways to lose a basketball game I have ever seen in my life.
I mean, I feel bad for the kid. Honestly.
I do too.
Because he had two
the last two possessions he turned the ball over.
Yeah.
Same player.
Because I'm sure the response is going to be completely normal and level headed and reasonable, given that he's a young man playing in a high stakes, probably the most high stakes scenario of his entire life.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And I'm sure everyone's just going to have a level of understanding and kindness that's going to make this all okay. I'm sure. In case you're not catching on,
I remember living in the dorms next door to Alabama's kicker at one point, and he missed a very big field goal against Arkansas.
And what did you do?
And I was like, do we need to leave for like a week to make sure things cool down?
I gotta take you.
He literally lived across the hall.
You gotta lay low. I need you to go to Cuba right now, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll send you back with the next shipment of cigars.
Right,
it's too good. Oh man! All right, Matt. What about you? Anything going on that happened this past weekend for you, my friend?
Basketball. Went to the Bulls game. I'm a good luck charm because they won, and apparently you can run about 15 steps before the NBA will call you on traveling anymore.
Correct.
And I wrestled for the first time ever in Staten Island, New York. Hey, first time in that borough.
Staten Island.
Which is basically Jersey.
Yeah.
Yes. I learned. Yeah. I mean, like, I landed at Newark Airport, and then like 15 minutes later, we're in Staten Island, as opposed to like if you're in New York City.
Well, that's
proper,
because the airport is right next to Staten Island. So when I used to live in Brooklyn, and I would go to like all the different gigs early on in my career, I would always take this cab. That would be $35. Oh my God, it was so clutch. $35 from Brooklyn to Newark Airport, and we will always go through Staten Island every single time we go through Staten. But that place only exists for that, you know?
Yeah.
It only exists for the route to the airport. So sorry to people from Staten Island. I'm from New York. I can say whatever the hell I want. I'm from there. And in any case,
it's a drive-through borough. Much like there are flyover states, there are
drive-through borough. And it has some good drive-through. So at the very least, it's got that.
Not
going
to be confused
with
a drive-by borough, which is different.
Which
totally
that is
different scenario.
You could say that at one point the Bronx was a drive-by borough, 100%. Sure. So you know, I lived through many. Let us talk about what happened on AEW.
Get to it.
Because there was so many things that went down in AEW Dynasty this past weekend. And we're just going to jump in right into it with the narrative notes. So the Owen Cup begins. So we're starting that hot. And look, first things first, you know, I want to get the overall thoughts on Dynasty. But the reason why I started with the Owen Cup is because they started the matches on Dynasty, which there were good matches.
I thought that was kind of odd. I thought it was an odd choice.
I was going to ask Jake for your thoughts on that. Like, did you feel like, did it add anything? Did it take away? What were your thoughts?
Yes, it did add. It added about a fucking hour to that long ass show. I mean, like,
Not wrong, man.
I mean, it just felt like, just do these on Dynamite and Collision. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it's something else to draw you to Dynamite and Collision. I don't think that we needed them on this card. It is, because this is my biggest complaint with AEW pay-per-views, is they're a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to watch an AEW pay-per-view, block off the day. Because that's it. That's your whole day.
Yeah, they're long. They're long for sure.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest reason that I don't like them being added to the pay-per-view, is it just makes an already long pay-per-view even longer.
Yeah.
That said, fun matches. It's not like the matches weren't fun. They just, it's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
It was a lot.
Too big a portion.
I had, and we don't really cover those kinds of things here, like, you know, news of like backstage stuff. I had heard that one of the matches was set to be on the card, or was the replacement for Bandido versus Chris Jericho, because they were trying to get Bandido's parents to come to the show, which obviously, you know, because I'm sure that was a very easy process to deal through with this country. So that is a little unfortunate, but it does seem like they were just like, fuck it, just add the match to the card, which, you know, hey, I give them credit. You know what I mean? Like, it was still a good match. You still had great matches across the board. I believe one of the added matches was Kyle Fletcher his match versus and Mark Briscoe. That was the added match, which listen, I mean, I love both of those guys, great wrestlers, but that is definitely a match you could have done on Collision or Dynamite, but it's very clear that it was like not meant to be there and they had filled it with something. That being said, though, you still got to judge and call a spade a spade for what it was, because it was a super long show. matches that went a real long time. Good matches, but matches that went a real long time. Going back into it, though, we had Tony Storm, Hurt Syndicate, Death Riders, and John Moxley all retaining, which we'll talk about John Moxley in a little bit, but I want to get thoughts real fast, Matt, on some of those other matches. I definitely think the Tony Storm Megan Bain match was really freaking good. Like, I really enjoyed it. I highlighted both wrestlers very well, but I want to get your thoughts. What did you think of those?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. Let's get a single on Jake real quick. Jake has very confident feelings about his predictions. So Tony Storm and Megan Bain was really good. You know, I leading up to this, I was like, hey, this is going to be the test for Megan Bain, kind of on a big stage here. Mm-hmm. First time, like, working for a TV company. They built her up really big. Now a huge pay-per-view and main event level match. And she answered, rose to the occasion. I will give her credit. I'm going to give a quick shout out to our old former guest, Simon Miller, who on his review of the show, I really agree with his take, which was, great job of building up Megan Bain, but this soon, and this also this soon after Tony won the title back, it felt just very obvious for the result.
Sure.
So why couldn't you maybe build Megan Bain more? Give her a big marquee match, non-title with somebody else, have her destroy them, and build her for like All In, where we might actually believe, oh, well, you know, Tony's had the belt another 3-4 months. It could be okay. Might be a time for a title change. Megan Bain's destroyed people for 4 months now. We might believe that they would put the title on her. So that was the only, other than that, though, I thought it was a really great performance. And I think we might, because of the roll up finish, this could maybe go to round two at Double or Nothing, perhaps.
Yeah, that's very true.
So given how it went, I kind of wish they would have held off and gone a little longer. And maybe we could have had a really big match at All In.
Yeah, what'd you make of it, Jake? If you have anything to add.
I mean, Matt sounds like the guy in the first Rocky who's like, why do you want to fight this bum? He's a nobody. He's nothing. All right? She wanted to give somebody a chance, and I respect it. But, again, I called it. I said that she was going to win via some trickery, some veteran.
I immediately thought of you, and remember we said, I was like, it would be sick if it was a surprise roll up, but they had did that already. But I do like that they did it again. Did you think that was?
I do too.
I hate that.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think stuff like that finishes, you need a little more. Not that you can have similar ish finish, but when like the exact, hey, we're finishing with a roll up. Can we avoid? It's really easy to avoid doing roll-ups for finishes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I on a show, like, it's really easy. It's like, if someone's going to get hit in the nuts behind the ref's back and then a finish, your match number 8 doesn't need to hit somebody in the nuts. Like, these things, they're easy to avoid. So, like,
yeah.
While it makes sense in both scenarios, I just, right. I don't like repeats.
Go for it.
To me, that's fair, too. To me, like, a roll-up in wrestling is like when Indiana Jones just shoots the guy instead of trying to fight him. Like that's how it feels a little bit to me. So that's kind of why I liked it. But I don't think she's, I mean, yeah, I think we're for sure going to get around to, I would guess sooner than later, because it's going to, for this very reason of like, okay, you got one over on me, but now that I'm prepared for that, what else can you do?
Yeah.
What else can you do to beat me? Because I don't think you can.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm learning. I've figured these things out. I'm going to adapt to this stuff. I can't just go in there and be all strength and brawn. I gotta use my head a little bit and keep it on a swivel against someone like Tony Storm. So for that reason, I did like it. I like both of their gear when they came out. I really liked that. And them being in Philly with a little bit of a Rocky vibe.
Always a fun one to do.
Yeah, most definitely. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I had a question because I will be honest. I I was doing so much while the pay-per-view was going on, and I missed it. The Mercedes Moné, Julia Hart match, was that TBS Championship or Owen match?
I think it was Owen, right?
That was an Owen, yep. Right?
Yeah, it was Owen match.
So yep. When that happened, I immediately was like, oh, we should just do Mercedes Tony at All In. That just seems like a real, real easy one to do. And you give Megan Bain these, like, really big, you know, high profile matches. I agree with you though, Jake. I don't know if this is a double or nothing thing. I think this is going to be more of a Dynamite or Collision rematch situation, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Because I do think that there might be something with her and Penelope Ford as well. Obviously they're like kind of a pair right now, but there's obviously more that's got to come from there. Yeah, they just kind of like got together. And they haven't really like figured out what they are yet. So I'm sure that's going to be sorted out in the coming weeks. And maybe it is the thing that we end up doing a double or nothing. Because, you know, it kind of gets us there, you know, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Right. So, yeah, we'll pay attention to that as it continues to develop here. Continuing forward, obviously we talked about Hurt Syndicate, Death Riders, all retaining. These were all matches that we had called, so there is nothing all that shocking on there. Even this one, Bandido defeating Chris Jericho for the Ring of Honor title. That was just nice. It was a fun, feel-good moment. Fun match overall. You know, again, this story was pretty, like, straightforward from the get-go, right? Bandido, Jericho don't like each other. Jericho harassing Bandido, took his brother's mask, you know, threatened parents, you know, just things that normal people do when they're fighting for a title, right? And then Bandido finally got his big moment and got the win and is now the new Ring of Honor champion.
Asterisk on the play, though, a little
go
bit.
For it. Sorry. Oh,
we
yes,
had a
right.
little bit of wait,
asterisk on the play. Yes, tell me you don't play. Watch sports without
sport ball.
Go for it.
So, technically, I mean, we had another finish before that with Chris Jericho retained that title.
That's true.
But the referee decision making. Pattern continues to be murky in AEW because apparently if your friends or family are in the audience, they can just hop the rail and go, nope, that's damn not right. what happened. You restart it. And they go, okay.
I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Because that is a Latina grandmother or mother. Okay. They don't.
She should have come in with the chomp blood and started hitting Jericho.
They should have. But that could have been gimmick infringement with Tony, which is ironic given the source material. But the thing is, you know, listen, abuelita never lies. Okay. Abuelita only tells the truth. And there's only one way you have to look at it is abuelita is always right. Okay. And that is the lesson that we have to learn.
It's just a dangerous precedent.
You can I'm take your saying? Dangerous precedent. You can shove it straight up your. No, I know what you're saying. Cool. I know exactly what you're saying. I don't disagree. I'm just.
But
I'm
but that
pass.
That being said, yes, I will say. That being
I'm
said,
biased,
what a goofy like pro wrestling-y thing to do.
Yeah.
To have literally have like what it was his sister who ended up like hopping the rail and
sister
being
mom.
Like, no,
it was
right.
Sister and mom.
Sister and mom. Yeah. One of them. Yeah, that's totally like, goofy, and yeah,
it's silly and it's goofy,
but
yeah,
that's like, good for wrestling
line,
shit.
What's that line in 30 Rock where Tracy is gonna get a vasectomy, and then Jack runs in and stops it, and Dr. Spichemin is like, legally, if a patient's friend runs in during a surgery and says stop, you
I
have
to
stop.
Yeah.
I did like how it was like they walked in, did it, and now I'm just like, can we settle all disputes this way moving forward? Why not just always have someone on the outside just watching from the fans? I don't know. That sounds fair. Oh, man. In any case, so Bandido's the new Ring of Honor champion. Looking forward to seeing what he could do with the belt. This will be his second reign. But then there was some big things that happened. Adam Cole defeats Daniel Garcia for the TNT title. He is the new TNT champion, Adam Cole. First belt in AEW for him. Obviously, not counting the Owen Hart one, but, you know, first like actual belt in AEW, huge achievement for him, holding a belt in so many different companies at this point. I guess overall, there's not much to comment on this story-wise. I am curious to see what the fallout is going to be for Daniel Garcia. That's the more interesting aspect of it for me, because we were seeing, Matt, some like heel elements come out of him in the middle of that match. He was like going after the leg a lot more. He was like being vicious and aggressive. So
I would stop short of calling it heel elements, because like and it's frustration. Anger. Like I can't get this done. Why can't I get this done? Why can't I put him away? I mean, he's not hitting him in the nuts. He's not raking his eyes.
Yeah, it's true.
He's like, he's just turning it up, and because he's frustrated, he's angry that he can't put the match away. So like, and I like that from a champ. He's getting more desperation, if you will. So yeah, we'll see if, you know, coming out of this, if maybe is there a heel turn in his future to try to jumpstart his career again, to kind of get back on that path out of frustration and anger.
Yeah,
he definitely was playing that up, that frustration. And in the aftermath, if you watched, I'm not sure if it was on the show or I saw it on like digital, but like just really playing up how disappointed and let, you know, down in himself he felt as a result of this. So I'll be curious to see tonight on Dynamite, you know, if we see him and where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, what do you think, Jake?
I appreciated that this was just a straight wrestling match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like hell, almost every other title match on the card, like this was just a straight up wrestling match, and it was good.
Yeah,
it was a great match. And like you said, Matt, I completely agree with you. It's like, you know, if another team's star cornerback comes out, man, I'm going to throw at that dude who just came in. I don't give a shit who he is. I'm throwing the ball at him.
Especially if you're down two touchdowns or whatever.
Exactly. You do what you
exactly. And then you got to throw an asterisk on the play.
Possession. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I like it. I mean, it's fun to see a wrestler start to dig more into his bag of tricks and what do I have to do and how do I, you know, that's the fun, like, psychological and storytelling aspect in the ring that we so appreciate. And it was really good to see. And so I have to give it props for it just being a straight wrestling match.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. We said that was going to be one of the matches to look out for. That was one of my matches to look out for. I knew it wasn't going to disappoint, and it was literally just that. So pumped for
Adam
Cole.
Toss a coin to your champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Throw a coin to your champion. Adam Abrivia.
Yeah, Scan told me he was just getting crazy donations on his birthday stream as well. So apparently Adam Cole had a great weekend. Let me tell you, he had a great weekend. Oh man. All right. Well,
good for him. He's deserved it and he's needed that.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Adam Cole.
Oh, I thought you meant the money.
The performer. Well, I mean, hey.
That too. Hey, we take it.
With tariffs, I mean, yeah.
You never know what you're going to get. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's continue forward here. FTR brutally attacks Cope after their failed attempt to acquire the trio's titles. What can only be described as the most obvious thing of all time. Although I will say, I didn't expect Cash to just jump in on it. Cash seemed the most into it. It is a little perplexing.
The way it was done was a little like, this is another thing, kind of like the family restarting the match and Bandito's match. This is a very like pro wrestling-y thing. This one I like a little bit less though, because it's not as fun and it makes me just go, huh? Whereas like Dax turns, he's the one who drops Cope, and we had a whole couple of minutes or whatever where Cash straight up like, what are you doing? How dare you? You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. And then clearly premeditated just turns around and attacks Cope too. So why are we even,
why did we act?
A character standpoint?
Yeah. Why are we feigning this?
Why are we feigning it just to be like, huh, we messed with the people in the audience, which okay, you're mean for that. But like as a character, it's just a little bit like,
But then also, so why team with him? Like, there's, I don't know, there's a lot of questions I think that are left on the table with this. And it's definitely one that's like, okay, well, let's see what all this means for these
Somebody
three.
Tells me gonna go. It's going to be Edge and Christian getting back together.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be all in, right?
Which, how do you get to that? I don't know, but I'm curious. I'm down to be taken on the ride. Yeah.
My one thing is, coming out of this show, there are a lot of matches that I think are becoming very, very clear for all in, but we still have 12 weeks to get there.
Yeah.
So how are they going to pad that out? That's my question.
If we do know.
Oh, I'll tell you, they're just going to have Moxley hold the title until then.
That's one of them, but that's not even the only match. There's a lot of setup that happened this.
No, yeah, season. I know. Yeah,
so, I mean, dude. Moving forward, we might as well just jump into it here, because not much else to add until we see what comes out of this. And I'm sure we'll get more about that on Collision rather than Dynamite, but maybe we get one or two things. Kenny Omega retains the International Championship in. Just an incredible, we said
in
it before.
The match of the night.
We said
which
it before.
Is not, which is, we yeah, we all expected it.
We were like, this thing's going to bang. And I looked on the comments and one person was like, Kenny Omega high flying. I'm like, dude, you just don't get it. Like, it's just a different style. It's just so good. And we even got a little taste of that style, by the way. More so even in a faster pace matchup when was it Nathan Frazier and Ray Phoenix on SmackDown, which we'll talk about that on the Friday show. But like, come on, man, that was just fucking awesome. I'm so sorry to curse. I'm trying not to curse that much. It was so good. It was so good.
The fuck.
Yeah. What? Let's just. Okay. We can all agree the match was phenomenal, right? I think we'll just leave it at that. But I want to talk about what happened after, because it kind of goes back to what Matt you were talking about before. Because after the match, who came out to confront the international champion? It was the continental champion.
The Rainmaker.
Kazuchika Okada, who is out there letting the world know that I'm calling my shot now. Guys, this is it. It's finally happening. The thing that we have called for on this show since the inception of Rebooked. It is finally freaking happening. They're unifying the titles. I never thought it'd come a day. Okay. So let's talk about what this means here. Does this get unified into some like undisputed international or international continental or just a continental because absorb? What are you thinking?
At this point, I'm selfishly hoping it gets absorbed into the continental title.
I think I know why.
because two reasons. One, yes, TNA is introducing
someone picked a unique name for their title.
To be fair, there's been international titles and promotions all over, but no, it would make that cleaner. But also, you then, as we've talked about before, you can keep the Continental Classic as a namesake tournament. So even though I think the international title is a better title and a prettier title and I think a more prestigious title in some ways.
I agree.
I selfishly just kind of hope maybe it's the Continental, because I think that is more uniquely AEW for what it's worth, just in general.
I agree. Because it is their, what is it? Because Owen is kind of like their G1, right? It's the reverse.
Continental Classic is like their
Continental Classic's like
yeah, Continental Classic's like their G1,
and this is like their King of the Ring.
Yeah, pretty much. So I like that they have these two tentpole kind of like bookend things, you know, that like that they can always lean on. But man, so here's the thing, am I crazy in this? People want this match, right? Like people want to watch. Like this isn't. We're not. Yeah. It's old. We've done this before, but not in AEW. But well, I guess we kind of have an AEW, have we? I don't remember now. Actually,
certainly not on a large stage. No.
Yeah, no, right?
No.
So then this is all in, right? This is another like clear all in one. But you have 12 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. It's another one of those ones that's clearly being set up, but how are we getting 12 weeks?
Okay. Fantasy booking. Let's talk. Let's how do you get 12 weeks of television Now, we don't have to go through every single week, but like, what do you do here? Do you like have Kenny continue to defend? Have Okada get on TV a little bit more? Because he's been kind of silent. So it's like, what do you do here if you're booking it?
I mean, yeah, you clearly, obviously, you're going to have somebody probably challenge at Double or Nothing. You can have Okada watching in the wings. You know, he could be on commentary and, you know, do his kind of says two words, you know, every so often.
Yeah.
One of them's bitch. Yeah.
Something like that or whatever. Or just watching from ring, watching on the monitor, all that stuff. But it's just like, I just wonder how many you could do video packages replaying their hit. You know, you could have a week where neither one of them are on the show and you have video packages, vignettes, recapping their history in Japan and how they've gone back and forth and stuff like that. But I do feel like you have to have at least another challenger between now and then. You know what
I mean? For both of them or just the international?
I mean, ideally both of them, but I just don't see it. It hasn't happened in the last.
You also
like,
got to explain how and why this merger of the titles are going to happen. Like, that's the thing
which
that I'm interested
in. We still don't know.
We still don't know.
We don't know
if it's going to happen.
Title for title? Could it just be challenging for one? Everyone and their mother is assuming and hoping.
praying.
But we don't technically we don't know yet, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
How would you do it, Jake? You had to theory craft.
I mean, that's tough. I like Matt's idea. The only thing with having challengers is like you just know where it's going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, is you just know where it's going.
Or do you have them fight once at Double or Nothing and then do it again at All In?
No, you save it for a different
stipulation.
I think you save it. I think you 100% have to save it.
For this one, I agree.
Okay.
But like what you could do is you could do some kind of story of like, you know, Omega is out there still defending his title and Okada's just sitting on the sideline watching him. And he's like, you're not even a fighting champion. I'm the one who's out here. You don't even deserve that.
Like, I just took on two of the greatest wrestlers in our company. You've been just chilling.
Yeah, and I keep putting it on the line and keep doing the work, and you just sit there with a title looking pretty.
Yeah.
So you don't even deserve to have it. And then Okada's like, then take it.
Mm.
This might be too much.
Okay.
Fantasy booking. Throw it up. I don't know if this fits here. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a slow thing and like, question is how good still at this point in their career. I'm not saying they're not, but I'm posing it kind of rhetorically. How good do you think Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada are? Could we do a best of seven?
Ooh, I mean, I would
like nothing's on the line in there. And whoever wins the best of seven wins both titles. And the final, of course, it comes down to 3-3. And, you know, some of them can be funky finishes. Maybe the Young Bucks get involved. You know, there can be little things like that, of course, along the way. So they're not like all out matches, all of them. Yeah. They're not all 30 minute freaking bangers. But like they back and forth some shenanigans. And here, this one of them can be, I don't know. And then you get to All In and they just go 30 minutes off the wall. I don't know if this is the time and place for those two to do something like that. Or best of five if you wanted to shrink it.
Yeah.
But
what I think would be fun and unique is if you do have like a best of five, best of seven situation, go into All Out where someone is down two matches and then you have an Iron Man match and it's like, either Kenny's got to pin you twice or
you only
got to pin
Kenny
once. Yeah.
Ooh. It's unique. It's a little convoluted, but it's not bad.
I mean, yeah.
I'm okay if they do just these are two of the greatest to ever lace a pair of boots, and we're just doing a tour of like rekindling their rivalry, their matches, and then they're fighting on Dynamite and Collision, and maybe they both just have title matches on the card, just like both to kind of like one up one another. You know what I mean? Like something to that effect.
Yeah, I like that too.
You know, because obviously that's always going to be a thing, right? I mean, you have two champions here. So naturally, if you want to get to that point, we have two champions fighting in Texas in a stadium, then you got to find ways to build that intrigue. I think just relying on the history of the of Kenny and Okada in New Japan is a bad idea, and they need to tell a story that is unique for AEW because it's been enough time. I'm not saying don't lean on some of the New Japan history, but like it's time to like just tell new stories with these guys, you know? And I think the idea that Kenny's been talking about that this is the best version of Kenny Omega ever, and then meanwhile Okada's just continued to be great, I think could also be a really fun way to approach it, right? Is this really the best version of Kenny Omega? Because, I mean, Okada's just won the Continental Classic, beat pretty much everyone in the company. So, like, there's, like, a lot of that you can kind of lean on. But overall, it's just making me more and more want to go to All In now. Like, I'm very heavily considering it because I've always wanted to. I was so jealous when I saw Okada and Kenny in Wrestle Kingdom for the first time. And I was like, this is amazing. Oh, my God. And, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe I go do that again. But let's talk about the finish and what ended up happening. Because, fellas, it didn't happen, but we knew it, but we didn't think that it would end this way. This was not on anyone's bingo card. So, Jon Moxley retains the AEW World Championship that's locked away in a suitcase and no one's seen for months, but he does so with the help of Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. They're back. And they decided to hit the BTE. The lights went dark. They came up. They hit the BTE trigger in the middle of the ring, or the EVP trigger, or whatever the hell they call it these days, in the middle of the ring to swerve. Swerve was out. Ipso facto, 1, 2, 3, Moxley retains. Young Bucks walk out. Looking Jack, by the way. Good on those guys. Looking pretty good. Yeah, that was not what I thought was going to happen.
not quite.
Yeah, Matt, you want to kick it off? What'd you make of the match? You know, everything that happened around it, but also that ending.
Yeah. So the match was all right. I thought they had a Jon Moxley match kind of thing. It got vicious and violent and stuff like that. But with all the shenanigans, the one thing I've seen a lot of people talk about, which I think is really short sighted and really weird that not enough people are picking up on it. Everyone's like, why would the Young Bucks help the Death Riders helping Jon Mox? Because when they left, it was because the Death Riders were taking over and we're getting the hell out of here a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't know. I'm like, especially with heels, and maybe it's because I've been a heel and I kind of get it. It was like, it has nothing to do with helping Jon Moxley. And I remember there was tension with Hangman and Swerve both, if I remember correctly, before the Young Bucks left. There was a little bit of butting heads. So they came out to it. This was all just about screwing Swerve. It had nothing to do with helping Jon Moxley.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. That is a side effect. Blood and Guts, didn't Swerve and them win Blood and Guts?
No, Hangman joined Team Elite.
Yeah, but did Swerve, I got to go back and look, because to me, I thought it was the whole reason why.
Oh, Briscoe, wasn't that when he was going to set Jungle Boy on fire?
Right? Yeah, he was going to set Jack Perry on fire, and then they quit, right? And then they gave up. Yeah. So, like, that made sense to me. Wait, were people not understanding why that happened? That's confusing. That's
no,
crazy.
No. There's just a lot of people that just, they thought it was weird that they kept framing it as the Young Bucks are helping the Death Riders and Jon Moxley.
Oh, no, that's definitely not and what I'm I like, took from that, but that's interesting.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I just saw a lot of that, and I'm like, I don't see it. I just saw it as screwing Swerve. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the Hangman involvement was, to me, was just as, if not more interesting, in where he came in. I thought it was nice having him line up looking like maybe he's going to buckshot Swerve.
Yeah.
Got interrupted, but obviously went and dropped Mox. So talk about another clear setup in my mind, tag match for All In, Swerve and Hangman, the most unlikely team in the history of teams versus the Young Bucks, which I think could be a really cool story actually.
Yeah. Because Hangman's got to kind of like explain why he decided to help Swerve in that moment in time, right? And I know, like, over the course of the weeks, he's been, like, looking to forgive. He's looking to try and be better. But, Jake, what do you take from all of that in the way it played out?
Well, I mean, we have that moment that was on – it was either
– Dynamite, Kujan, I believe.
Or Dynamite.
It was great.
Where they were – it was phenomenal. Where they were in the back.
I love
going
that.
Going at each other, screaming at one another. And he's like, you burned down my house. And he's – and Hangman said, you deserved it. And Swerve said, I know.
Yeah.
And then Hangman just stopped, like – what? I did not expect you to. It was such a good moment. It was one of the best moments they've had on TV in a long time. And then Hangman just walks away. Like, he has to process, like, wait.
He knows that he did something terrible.
He admitted that he was, yeah, the things he did was wrong. And yeah.
Yeah. And it was such a great moment. And so this is about Hangman's redemption. Hangman's trying to redeem himself.
Yeah,
it has less to do now with Swerve, but it's more about Hangman finding who he is, and trying to return to the man that he wanted to be all along, but has, like, just had been dealing with so much shit. And so that made sense to me, him running out and being like, you know what, the balls of you to admit that you deserved it after the horrible thing I did to you has made me re-examine things. And you know what? We have a lot of history, and we can either put that behind us or use it.
Yeah.
So let's use it. That being said, not a fan of the ending.
Yeah. Okay. Knowing what we know now and the way that things are shaken up, and I don't want to make it sound like it's depressing, because I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of came out of that and being like, yeah, I want him to lose it all in. I want it to be an epic moment when Jon Moxley finally loses, but I understand that other people don't want that, and I'm completely empathetic to it. But me now in this story, I'm like very much interested in how they get to the inevitable toppling, right? Because you gotta, like, you also have the Death Riders that are also still Trios champs, right? So they still retain. So you gotta also tie. It's all gotta come crumbling at the same time, right? And what better way to do that than it all in? But Jake, I know that. What would you have wanted to have happened?
Him to lose?
Like, no, for sure. But
the problem is this is just like I just feel like this is, it's so beyond saving at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels like trying to polish a turd.
Okay.
Quite honestly, and like it. Matt, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Like, because I think this is, I think you guys would agree. Jake, I feel like I know you'd agree. I was talking with someone about this too. The long-term plan being all in, I get the idea of, like, we've got this touchstone in the distance that we want this reign of terror, and then it gets ended at our biggest show. Totally get that. The problem is, it seems like in between they're scrambling to fill in the blanks week by week or month by month, as opposed to this is going to happen, and then this, and then this, and then it's just like, we need another match for this pay-per-view. Now we need another one for this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It feels like you're scrambling.
You had an act one of a story and a resolution.
And an act three. Yep.
Not even an act three. You have a resolution.
Yeah.
And act two just has its keister in the wind. Like, what the fuck are, like, what are we going to do here? And it's like, well, it doesn't matter. We just have to get to there.
Yeah.
But how you get there is what's important. The journey in a story is what's important. The journey to get, that's what makes the ending so sweet. It's not that it's over. It's that what it took to get there.
Yeah.
And if by this point, everyone's just tired of it, then it's more going to feel like, thank God we just took a big shit instead of this massive celebration.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. it just feels like we've taken the bloodline. Like it's like the like reheated leftovers.
Well, is how I was going to say,
it's not this meal that we thought it was going to be. And now we're just eating. Now we made this horrible meal. We thought it was gonna be great.
Now we just have to eat it.
And now we just have to eat the leftovers until they're gone. Like that's how it feels a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well,
I will say, I don't know. I don't think it's been horrible.
No, I mean, I think it's been
hit or miss.
The same thing.
Yeah. It's just been repetitive.
Day after day, I do agree.
Very little evolution.
And I was gonna say, it's kind of like they looked at the bloodline story. And we're like, wow, let's do that without really understanding why the bloodline story worked out the way it did. Because like one of the reasons why the bloodline story worked so well was the dynamic between the actual bloodline. And that was something that was on display on TV every single week.
And they teased it. They teased it with all the shit with Wheeler. But then now that's just gone.
Exactly. So that part has been weird, whether or not that's been because it got slowed down. Because there's always other factors at play that it's not necessarily related to writing. Could have just been, you know, scheduling what they knew was coming up. Maybe, you know, some like people weren't going to be around. I don't know. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying it's always hard because it's like, even for WWE, for TNA, it's like every show kind of like does their story beats a little bit differently. But I will agree that when it comes down to this, it's been sloppy. And it wasn't what you wanted it to be initially. That being said, this is where we are now. So what do you do? I still think there's an opportunity to have a lot of fun with this. But it just depends if, you know, people are
willing. I think they need to, I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I feel like the answer is you got to get back to basics because it feels like we're adding so much shit to a recipe that's so far gone. That it's just like, hey man, you know what's like good, just a PB&J sometimes. Like just give me a PB&J. Just give me, you know, steak and eggs. Like just give me that. You don't have to have a 47 ingredient thing that takes 13 hours to make and that has all the like not everyone can do that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's just get this back down to some kind of basic, something simpler and then go from there. And if you can build on it, if there are areas for you to explore and to go off of, that's fine. But it feels like we've literally lost the plot.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, let's refocus and recenter. What was the whole point of you doing this in the first place, and focus on that.
Yeah.
And stop trying to do this. Like, the Avengers Endgame shit that they're clearly trying to do as well, because it's just not working right now.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah. Matt?
Counterpoint.
Okay.
No, like, because you are 100% right, Jake. In the event that they don't, I'm trying to think, I'm like, all right, given what they've done with the Death Riders and everything so far, I'm like, how can we take that dynamic and pull something interesting out of it?
Yeah.
Especially too, because we've already established, for better, potentially worse, that our title match for All In is as a result of the Owen Hart tournament. So already, like, in theory, you could rip the story out of it because it's just a tournament winner gets a title match. So there's not a lot of narrative there on paper. So given the way the Death Riders interfere in fucking everything, what if you started a pattern? It hasn't done yet, but from here on out, or as like the we get into like the second round, the third, we close this, they start hovering.
Fixing the contest.
They start hovering over these matches, looking for the threats, and they screw some people. And Will becomes the bigger and bigger threat, and they try harder and harder to screw. So now the story is that they're trying to keep Will from winning this tournament.
Yeah.
He keeps overcoming. And you could even, not at All In, I don't think even, in the tournament final match, you could have a little bit of a AEW endgame thing where your Mark Briscoes, the ops, whoever kind of could come out and boom, eliminate them from as they're trying to interfere in the finals of the Owen Hart match. Will Ospreay is super kicking people off the apron. Everybody else is fighting into the crowd, hits the Hidden Blade, and then you get your whatever remaining couple of weeks until All In, and it is just 60 miles an hour, hopefully, but, between Will and
A counterpoint to that, we're also assuming it's going to be Ospreay.
We are at this point.
Because on the other side of the bracket is Hangman.
Yeah, I'm actually and showing I, him
I
on
think
screen
he
here.
Will 1000% get screwed out of his match by the Young Bucks. I think.
Maybe so. Maybe
yeah,
so.
I really
but
think
do they
that's
but
where...
are they do, but how do they have any kind of what history do they have with Ospreay?
I mean, I think that, like the they Bucks. Just don't want I mean, the good guy to kinda, win. You know, I mean, like that would
yeah.
that's
but
easy.
If it gets down to Ospreay and Hangman, they're arguably both the good guys.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I don't think so, I'm curious who this wild card entrant is. This is gonna be
and the finals at Double or Nothing. Interesting.
Yeah. The finals at Double or Nothing. Yeah. So that is a big deal. Because that could play That's definitely going to give a lot of time. And also, AEW does a really good job of tournaments and stuff like that. So we'll see how that kind of all shakes up. But yeah, there goes your bracket and where things are right now. And then on the women's side, Mercedes Moné won her match against Julia Hart. We have Harley Camera versus Athena, which that one's going to be fun. Athena, maybe. Ooh,
it's odd that they would meet in the semis.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Athena and Mercedes.
It is odd. Or maybe something happens. Ooh, who knows? Maybe one Mercedes Moné does not want to face Athena in the semifinals of the tournament.
I could see, yeah. And we'll Harley Cameron gets
involved
because
she thinks Harley Cameron's an easier target, followed by...
She's already beat her.
She's already beat her, exactly. And then on the other side I mean, you know, if you're thinking
Moné,
about Minnie Moné, you kind of rekindle, you get Harley Cameron, Athena, and Mercedes Moné working together. Now that I think about it, I don't think it's going to be Mercedes versus Tony in like a champion v champion match. I actually think that whole setup gives it away. It could very well end up being Jamie Hayter running it back with Tony, which would be a banger. Holy, because they were, because didn't Jamie win it off of Tony or Tony won it off of Jamie? Trying to remember who won the belt off of who where, but I know that could maybe play a role there. That's pretty dope. Either way, Owen has shaped up to be pretty exciting. But we'll, of course, be seeing how it affects things because we still have 12 weeks before All In. Good God. A lot of time. Hey, but WWE's doing it. They managed to fill a lot of time of TV with 30-minute promos and one-hour promos. So, you know, like in the good word of the Lonely Island, anything is possible. Anyway.
That is true.
So, as always, though, this brings us to what is it, Jake? What is it? What is it?
Who they were quoting Kevin Garnett, but that doesn't matter.
That's true, which is even better that I didn't quote Kevin Garnett. But yeah, I quoted Lonely Island. And in the song,
that's like attributing the 99 shots to Michael Scott and not not Wayne Gretzky.
I just realized that. Oh, dude, you know what's funny? Because me and Cynthia say that all the time in like a joking manner, so that's just brilliant. Well, you know what's happening here. It's the end of the show, which means it's time for your 24/7 Champion of the Week. This is, of course, week. This is, of course, where we talk about the person, place, thing, or whatever that made us the most happy in the world of pro wrestling or beyond. You know, it really, really does matter. Does anyone have anything they want to start off with? You do?
I'll start because mine's pretty cut and dry. It's nothing too funky or weird, but I just want to give a shout out. We talked about whether the Owen Hart match is really fit on the pay-per-view. And I see the point where maybe no, but I got to give a big shout out to Kevin Knight.
Kevin Knight,
God
man.
Dang. I've known it for a couple of years now. Excuse me. This kid is going to be a star, and he is already well on his way. Good job at AEW giving him two pretty, even in defeat, standout performances against Jay White and now against Will Ospreay. Will really made a star out of somebody who was already on the rise. So, like, keep letting this kid. He's such a nice young man, first of all. He's a nice young man.
Yeah, okay, let's calm down there, Theo Matthew.
But he's just so sweet. He does his homework, and he always kisses his grandma goodbye. But no, he's so freaking good. He's a good dude. He's unreal athlete.
Yeah.
And so, like, give this dude high-profile matches, and then hopefully – I know it's not AEW's focus, but give him a little bit of time to talk, get him develop that character. You have a main eventer. So just, he had a standout freaking match with Will. So yeah, he's my star of the week.
No, he was incredible. When they did the first match with him and Jay White, I was like, oh man, this is one of those things where like the crowd's not going to realize that they're walking into a banger. And then they come out of it and they're like, oh, that was a banger. And then they, and then when they had him on the card again, I was like, wait a minute, if he's fighting Will, this has to be a banger. I will say though, it was, you know, the only criticism I'll give is that why was Kevin Knight in the Owen tournament to begin with when he lost his match against Jay White and all that? Well, actually, no, that was because Jay White got injured, I believe.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So never mind. I take it all back. So yes. So Jay White actually was injured. So you know what? I rescind it. I rescind criticism. Pull it back. Doesn't matter because Kevin Knight is a boss. And I do agree with everything you said. Jake, do you have yours or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, go for it.
You know, this one is a friend of the show. Is related to a good friend of the show.
Mm.
And it's mostly because he did something that I have always wanted to see executed in real life. Speedball Mike Bailey did a crane kick during a match.
Yes.
And it was, and he connected with it and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was fantastic. He did a freaking crane kick in the middle of a championship match.
Oh yeah.
And it was awesome. It wasn't just funny.
Ricochet Lawrence fell for it. I mean, what a fool.
Wait, backtrack. How was he related to one of the people on the show or a friend? What?
You said he was Mike Bailey. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, but no, you said he was related to a friend, to one of the, like, somebody.
Did I say he was?
Maybe related? I don't know. Am I brain scrambled?
Check the tape.
I don't know. Regardless.
Did a freaking crane kick.
Yeah, he did a freaking crane kick. And it in the middle of a match. And it worked. I don't think I've ever seen it done.
I want to give a shout out to this cameraman here who's fucking stoked, dude.
See, even he can't believe that a crane kick. Look at that. That guy is like, oh my god, he's doing a crane kick.
This guy just finished the last season of Cobra Kai and is into it.
Anybody can do a crane kick, but to execute it to perfection and connect on it, that's next level.
It really is. Speedball Mike Bailey. Friend of the show.
24/7 champion.
Friend of the show. Honestly, I'm glad you guys had, because I've been so busy that I haven't had time to nominate anyone. So I'm actually down to give it to friend of the show, Speedball Mike Bailey, for the crane kick. Let's do it.
I'll do one more nomination for you then. Well, I still want to give it to Mike Bailey. But the other one is I'm going to give a nomination to Bert Kreischer for being a likable comedian on Raw.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That's true. We'll, of course, talk about that unfortunate incident on the Friday show. But that's right, folks. That's going to do it for the end of our show. Make sure you tune into our TNA show, which is going to be dropping tomorrow, and our WWE Friday show, which comes out on Friday right before SmackDown. You want to know what's going on with all the latest storylines and everything in the world of pro wrestling? We got you covered right here on Rebook. We thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.